धरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Okay, so now we're establishing this point, is that the mind is something very, you know, important we have to deal with. It's real. It's not the illusion. The illusion is what the mind thinks is real, not the mind itself. So the natural position, all this is basically centering around the point that the mind's natural position is coming from the mode of goodness. In the creation, it's manifest from the mode of goodness. Therefore, if the mind is in its natural position, then it works nicely. If it's not in its natural position, there's always going to be trouble. So any anxieties, any difficulties with the mind are simply coming because it's not situated in goodness. Right? Because Aniruddha is the lord of the mind. He's also the lord of the mode of goodness. Right? So this is very, very important. So the whole process is understanding how the mind is actually gotten from goodness into passion into ignorance. Right? That's where the difficulties lie, both in material life and in spiritual life. Right? Because it's still the same mind you're dealing with. It's just a matter of how far you're taking the goal. Right? Because goodness is very close to pure goodness. Right? It's just... So the difficulty is that the addition of passion and ignorance, that's what disturbs the mind. So in goodness, there's still some influence of passion and ignorance. Therefore, it's still called mundane. But it's a progressive situation to have the mind in. Because from the mode of goodness, then the modes of passion and ignorance are reduced to the point that it's workable. You can, with the intelligence, look at it. You can analyze. You can deal with attachments. Does that make sense? It's actually, you can do something with it. You know, it's just like if you're sitting in the mud puddle, not a whole lot you can do. But if you're sitting in the shower, you still have the same amount of mud on you, but it's workable. You can do something about it. So then the next point is that this mind then is being, that you are channeling it, therefore, towards Aniruddha, towards the Supreme Lord. So whatever it's absorbed in, whatever it thinks about, then you're trying to establish it back to that. Right? Does this make sense? What we're trying to do here is point out is that to make a distinction here, though it's non-different, but a distinction between the analyzation of this according to just our regular philosophy and analyzation of this according to the psychology, the nature of the mind. Though they're non-different, because in both cases you're dealing with the mind. The difficulty comes is that we will tend to take these things that are philosophical and just say they're philosophy and they're not practical. That is an extremely popular position that devotees love to take. That way then they can go on with their passion and ignorance and looking outside Krishna consciousness for all the solutions to all their problems. Very popular. So we have to show is that whatever it is that is required by human life is in this philosophy. Otherwise, why would it be our philosophy? Right? Your philosophy has to be a complete explanation of your understandings and practical applications and lifestyle for a human being trying to get back to Godhead. So it must deal with everything. Right? And you're here because of the mind, not because of anything else. Right? The mind, yes. So it's not a question of stopping the mind or negating the mind. It's a matter of redirecting where the mind is going. Problem is it's gone into passion and ignorance. You have to get it to go back into goodness towards the Supreme Lord. Right? That's what we're dealing with. So this aspect then becomes very, very essential. Okay, so that transforms it into Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is the natural state of the living entity. They are sane then. They're sane. They're not insane. So then, so it's a natural method. Krishna consciousness is the natural position of the living entity, and therefore of the living entity's mind. And so it's not something, as Prabhupada says, it's not an artificial imposition. It's the natural position. The mind is part of the soul's nature. We call it the mundane mind because the mind has absorbed itself within the material sphere. When it's absorbed in Krishna, we don't call it the material mind. Right? It's not called like that. Right? We think Radharani is thinking of Krishna. What is he going to think with? Right? She doesn't use a mind. She's got, you know, a new, you know, quad core, you know, Intel chip, right? You know, something like that. Well, actually, they're spiritual. They got something better than that. You know, 108 core, you know, like that. So, does that make sense? No, they're using the mind. It's just a matter of what you do. It means you have a knife, right? If it's being used very nicely in surgery, right? You connect it with the doctor, right? And it's considered good. You connect it as cutting up vegetables in a kitchen. You connect it with the cook. You know, it's stabbing people and killing people, right? Then you connect it with a criminal, right? But is the knife different? No. That's the whole point. This whole thing is there's something else and there's this other enemy and all that and I can do nothing about it. Technically speaking, that's voidism. Because you're saying that these things are non-different, and when I get rid of them, then everything will be fine, which means there'll be nothing. It's actually Buddhism. Like that. Popular also. So, then in here, then we were getting down to the stages of how to situate in goodness, is that you're going through a mechanical process. Because of passion, then the tendency is the intelligence doesn't work. So in those things, that by chanting, keeping good association, you keep yourself away from bad activities. That's nice. That's the easiest. Why make an extra endeavor, right? Because this endeavor that we're talking about is very mechanical. It's a bit dry, right? So if you can, by chanting, associating with devotees, taking prasad, worshipping the deities, living in the dham, you know, if you can, by these processes, keep yourself in Krishna consciousness and the mind not being deviated to the point where you can't do these things, by continuing like that, you've already connected everything to Aniruddha. Your activities are connected. Therefore, and you want to do, so your ultimate goal is Aniruddha, is the Lord. So therefore, the mind is technically controlled, though from our perspective, it's still a bit wild. But it's being properly engaged. But then if we find that, yes, and with time, by being purified, the desires, the needs will be purified, and so naturally the mind will just come across to being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That's the simple, straightforward way, a method that basically devotees talk about, and every temple president, you know, talks about to his devotees, because he doesn't want them to do anything else, because why? It's bad for collection. Like that. So, then, the difficulty comes is, now what if the mind is too absorbed, too connected with the material energy? Right? So, then the mode of passion comes up prominently, the mode of ignorance comes up. Then you have to start using mechanical means to bring it back to goodness. Right? That's what we're dealing with here. So there is a distinction. So it is correct. Just chant Hare Krishna, everything will be fine. It is correct. If that's working for you and you're able to absorb yourself, body, mind, and words in Krishna's service, why would one want to do anything else? Right? Why complicate things? But if it's not working, then You have to, wherever it's not working, because it's not in all things it's not working, it's only in specific things. So in those areas, you use the mechanics. And in the other areas, you keep to the very direct method. Does that make sense? So in this, then, it's being brought up that the question is theirs, then how is it that a devotee who is absorbed in Krishna consciousness can do all kinds of crazy nonsense? Right? It's a very important question. Because the point is we're dealing with devotees. And this idea is that if they're not perfect, they're not devotees, that's not even a real question. Right? One has to be very much situated in the mundane platform to think that this is a real position. Right? Because you're dealing with the soul becoming purified. So when you come in contact with Krishna consciousness, now the process starts very dynamically. But it doesn't mean that unlimited lifetimes that we've been in the material world is not still having some influence until the purificatory process becomes the prominent element. So if there's any flaw to throw it out, then this is very mundane. Very, very mundane. And if you take this mentality, no one can become purified. Because as soon as they do something wrong, bang, you're out. It's great in the political field, right? In the sensual field, who cares? The musician is a complete grunge. Nobody cares as long as his music is good. What they do behind stage, the actor or the dancer, nobody cares. Business people, it goes without saying, right? In the political field, that's where it becomes very useful. Because you want influence, power, you can keep others out of this place by finding some fault. You understand? But it has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. Right? So, here then, technically, you know, that was just the background on why we should avoid this. We have to understand is that somebody's going to be strong in one area, weak in another. So wherever the weakness is, then that's where we give help, not throw stones. Right? Because the general rule is, if you have nothing to throw stones at, you can go ahead and throw them. But if you have anything, don't bother. Like that. So getting back to this natural flow is now, where it's gone out, how has it gone out? Is because the mind is going to contemplate the objects of the senses. Right? That's what the mind does. That's all the mind deals with. The mind doesn't deal with intelligence. Right? It deals with senses. That's what it deals with. So it's going to see that. Now, seeing that, you can see that in Krishna consciousness. You can see it from the mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. The point is that that's what the mind does, is view your surroundings through the senses, right? And decide, therefore, what of these sense objects are useful and what of these sense objects are not useful, right? According to your value system, right? Does that make sense? So therefore, if someone takes a very strange approach to dealing with the material energy, that because their value system is also strange, you know, at least in this area. So as that value system is purified, brought to the mode of goodness, established in service to the Lord, that means then the way of viewing the world through the senses changes to Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? It's a very simple process, but there's a lot of technical mechanics behind this if it's not working in this nice, smooth method. Right? So right there then, the key is this, how you are viewing things. So when you view something from desire, material desire, that will then generate, according to Gita, material attachment. Material attachment will then generate material action. Right? Thinking, feeling, willing. These are the stages of the mind. So then when the mind goes into the sense objects and looks, as if it is looking simply from Shastra, okay, this is this, this is that, this is this part, this is that part, then there's the sense objects are not entering the mind. So the mind is properly situated in goodness. Right? Their interaction with the mind is based on scripture. So the interaction will not generate passion or ignorance. But as soon as we have the desire that I want to enjoy, through, that means the senses of this sense object, the sense object enters the mind. This is the point where they become non-different. Right? So this is the state of existence, basically, that we're in. We don't distinguish between the mind, the senses, the sense objects. We think that what I want is me. Excuse me, and throw in the soul here. Right? We don't make that distinction. So therefore, you can't separate. So then here at this time, as you have someone absorbed in devotional service, at the same time, as there are certain aspects of the mind that is sense objects that absorbs in, that those are still very much connected with the mind. And so in those areas, they will act in a mundane way. So this is Uddhava's question. Right? So now the Kumaras then are trying to understand how does this interaction work? How does the one enter the other and all that, and why is this all going on? But to look at it from that perspective, you know, Uddhava is how is it a devotee gets distracted? But there is how is it these are combined? The mind and the sense object. So that point is actually you're viewing it from the mundane platform. Because if you're looking from the spiritual platform, you're seeing everything in connection to Krishna according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So what enters the mind is based on the transcendental platform. So there is no mundane mind. So to be able to perceive the mundane mind and say that the sense and the sense object have entered, technically speaking, that position is not very important. Right? Does that make sense? So the Hamsavatara then is explaining that if everything is then connected to him, then all these problems go away. Right? So when the mind is absorbed in things connected to Krishna and engaged in those activities, that will free one from the material contamination. That's real sanity. Does that make sense? Means the highest position of sanity is being absorbed in love of God. Right? Your next position down, that is we would consider sane, you're transcendental to the mundane, but you're not exactly situated properly in your natural service to Krishna. You haven't, because natural means in prema. So it's developing, that's rati. Then down from that within the mundane that's workable is you would consider it basically sane or workable sane, though not completely, is that you are functioning in the mode of goodness according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Ideally, those are being directed in devotional service, so it's very progressive, but even if it's not, it's pious because it's according to Shastra. When you leave this, then you're dealing in the realm of insanity, seriously. Now, depending upon your values, how far they move from what's recommended in Shastra, basically to that degree you're called insane. And when that degree, that attachment, becomes so absorbed that you're not actually able to function, socially with others, or even be comfortable with yourself, then we say you're clinical. Does that make sense? But we see it's a natural progression of the same thing. It's not something different. It's not that, well, there's this and then there's that. No, it's just one thing. It's just a matter of how much is the absorption in the mundane and how much then is progressive connected to the Shastras and then connected to Krishna and then connected to love of Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's a very, very simple process. So Krishna consciousness then deals with this very nice, because that's all Krishna consciousness is how to get the mind out of the material absorption and into absorption in Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Right? It's not something else. That's the impersonal concept, it's something else. We'll just be there. But what's that there? What are you going to be doing there? Right? You know, this zone, it means your mind is absorbed in Krishna, not that you just exist in this. Because if you just exist in a transcendental state, that's the impersonal situation in Brahman without Krishna. You understand? So therefore, it's not something else. The same mind that you're sitting there with now is the same one you're going to have eternally. It's just a matter of, do you want to absorb it in Krishna or not? That's your position as a Tathasta. Which you want to absorb it in? That's all. It's not that it's something else, some other kind of magic, some trick. This is that we're always looking for that little trick. You know, I got this problem in my chart. I do this little trick. I wear a little stone, do a little yajna. Everything becomes perfectly fine, right? All the whole universe, all the planets change. They don't do what they do anymore. They change all their nature, everything, because I put on a little stone. Right, this stone is this big, and the planet is bigger than this planet, and somehow or another, this little stone, you know, does the work. Right, and I also got it for 300 rupees. You know, so cheap. Right, does that make sense? We're always looking for the trick. Yes.
You said the mind is the same one we'll be with eternally.
Means you have mind. We call it the mundane mind because it's absorbed in Krishna. It's just like you have. It's your hand. If you stick it in the mud puddle, you say it's dirty. But it's not a different hand. We have this idea that it becoming clean becomes a different hand.
But the subtle material body...
No, it's not the subtle. It becomes, we become covered by that because that's the mundane mind that we're covered with. But the soul has a spiritual mind and intelligence and identity. That's why when... But it's all basically geared on the identity. So as long as we think I'm the controller and enjoyer, then we will always have to have something to control and enjoy. So that means the mode of passion will be in play. So our mind will become absorbed in the mundane sense objects. So we'll see, because Prabhupada very much is talking about, distinguishes the mundane mind. He doesn't just say the mind, he uses the mundane mind, the material mind. Right? So because he says the mind should be absorbed in Krishna. You know, so the residents of Braja, their mind is absorbed in Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So just as the soul is covered by this body, but it has its natural spiritual form, then the mind is covered by the mundane. Right? And so it acts in that way. It makes it easier for distinguishing if we do the box system. You know the little boxes, you put them on your computer. Is that, you know, here we are, and then there's the spiritual and all that, and we put this little arrow. But the problem is what is that arrow? What gets this box to that box? We actually know the philosophy, we know it, but we don't apply it, actually, technically. So then the problem comes is then we have to turn to someone else because we say it doesn't work. But here is the most technical psychology there is. Modern psychologists cannot dissect the situation to this degree. Right? They know how to inspire some confidence, how to create an identity that's workable, but to get you to the point of where you can just enjoy your senses in a company with other people without making trouble. That's what they're able to do. Right? So they can get you from clinical up to the mode of basically passion. But they still don't know, they can't distinguish within the mind the actual functioning, how it's working technically in the matter of the modes and in the matter of how the senses and sense objects are entering each other. That they can't tell. So that's all the farther they can take you. When you're happy and enjoying your senses and comfortable in your life, whatever your values, they consider their work is done. But that's where our work starts. Because you know, we got to get you from there up to the mode of goodness, up to the mode of pure goodness, up to prema. So we need a much more detailed definition like that. And they make it very complicated because they don't actually know what they're talking about. Right? So they have to define the mind off of so many other things that need definition that it becomes very big. It's like modern English grammar. Right? There isn't actually any. They kind of put something together and they can't really define it very clearly. You know? You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't know, then you're working with your mind. But the point is Vedic is working with the intelligence and with consciousness. So that controls the mind, so it becomes very much easier. Is that okay? Okay. So now, in those areas that work very nicely, we leave it at that. Just follow Krishna consciousness, the basic program, it's perfect. But now in areas that are technical, I mean, the areas that the attachment is too strong, then what you have to do is technically break it apart. Because something dismantled is not attractive. You know what I'm saying? It's like after Jack the Ripper got, you know, finished with his girls, even though before he started his process, they were probably very attractive. Afterwards, no one was going, wow, this is a great-looking girl. You know what I'm saying? You take anything that looks really nice and dismantle it into all its parts and put it right there, it doesn't look nice anymore. You know what I'm saying? Your Louis Vuitton bag still doesn't look good. It's been taken apart. Here's the zipper. Here's the strap. Here's the buckle. Here's the this. It doesn't look good anymore. So that's then therefore what the mechanical process is for. Mechanical processes, therefore, you dissect it and you see it for what it actually is, not for what you think it is. Then in that case, then we're looking at it. So actually what you're dealing with, since the mind is to be absorbed in Krishna at all times, is if you're doing it in the most direct fashion, I'm just doing this and it's connected to Krishna, it's for Krishna. I'm chanting Krishna's name, I'm cooking Krishna's food. You don't have to need mechanics. But in an area where you don't see the goal or the result or the method in connection to Krishna, then you have to dissect it and figure out how actually what you're dealing with is already Krishna. You just don't see it that way. Then is given the points about the internal and external aspects of it. It means that your actual passionate attraction to something, the reason you're attracted is actually because that potency is Krishna. Right? Krishna's qualities are reflected, the effulgence of his qualities, that's the Brahman. Right? So if you can't see Krishna, you start with that Brahman element. Right? And you work with the Brahman element, you can remove that and see Krishna, right? That's the Upanishad. Krishna's qualities are so overwhelming that we're not able to see the person who their qualities are from. So by seeing the person in the qualities you are looking for, you can remove that illusory Brahman platform, establish the actual Brahman platform, and because as devotees, we know that Brahman platform is Krishna's qualities. Right? So then we take it back to Bhagavan, to these mechanical steps. Right? So, therefore, then we see that everything that's here is a transformation of the Lord's qualities through the mode of passion. Right? And so, what we're seeing is the Krishna's potency in everything we value. That's actually what's going on. Right? You like your iPod and it looks really good and you love the mechanics and all the different things, but what you're liking is actually Krishna. It's not the plastic and a few pieces of whatever else is there. Krishna's potency is there. That's why you like it. If that's good enough, then you understand, oh, okay, so it's Krishna, so therefore now I can use this iPod for Krishna. Right? You know, and then Bhakta Bob and, you know, and Bhakta Jimmy and all these guys disappear. Then you put on other things. Does that make sense? Yeah, no fear. 1 second. So then, then the difficulty comes up is that if that works, great. If it still doesn't work, then we bring out. Then it's revealed that Lakshmi is there also, because then you're going to have the support of the thing, and you're going to have Lakshmi as the active principle of the thing. Right? Because Krishna does things through his energies. So his energies is Lakshmi. But she is Lakshmi, but for us, in the form of material energy. But if you see it not as material energy, as Krishna's potency, then you're dealing with Krishna and Lakshmi. Right? So the point is that, okay, we have our iPod. Now this iPod can deliver music. Right? Its principle is sound vibration can be stored and given out from there. The method of its storing and deliverance, that's Lakshmi. The principle of sound, that's Krishna. You understand? So that's actually what's going on. So that's there in everything. Your computer is there. The computer does stuff. So now the computer can also store information, work with information. That ability that this program can work with that, that's the Lakshmi aspect. Or you can take it back further. You know, you get into your keyboard and your mouse because it's, you know, it's how you say it's a Bluetooth, you know, so it's the latest, whatever. Then the thing is then you bring it back, is then you take it because it says all the external form of whatever it is that you're dealing with, that's Lakshmi. Right? So therefore, the computer, it can do those things. And it has that ability, but the form of it is going to be in what the computer looks like, the keyboard, the mouse, because that's what's actually going to do the work. I want to do the work, I have to push the button. So therefore, the button, that's Lakshmi. And then the computer gets the work done, that's Krishna. Does that make sense? So you can walk from a very broad, or start narrowing it down more and more and more technical, more mechanical. So whatever is your degree of absorption in the material energy, Krishna is already there with Lakshmi. You see it in connection to Krishna. You're dealing with Brahman. You're dealing with transcendence. That liberates you. You don't, then it contaminates you. You become absorbed. You become, conditioned. It's very simple, but at the same time as, you know, we've been here a long time, so for us it becomes very complex. Does this make sense? Right? So the trick is how to pull everything out and bring it back. Because now, if it's you're dealing with Krishna and Lakshmi here, okay, so that's the first step. But now, that's the Brahman step. You're dealing with the qualities of it. The qualities and how those qualities are manifest. Right? So for us, it's manifest through the gross material energy. So you're dealing with that. So Lakshmi has taken that form. But, so as a first step to take it from we're totally absorbed in the mundane, and then bring that total mundane, break that diversion into material energy, break it and make it progressive, we use this as a first step. Because the first step means you understand it's not what I think it is, it's actually Krishna. Krishna with his potency. Right? But it's still the Brahman platform. We, of course, as devotees, understand the Brahman's coming from Krishna, so it's not a dangerous platform. Right? The impersonalists, they'll follow this, it'll get them out of the material energy, but it won't get them to the spiritual world, because they don't actually see his connection to Krishna. Right? Then, the next step means then you're going to see, okay, we have to take it further. Because Rupa Goswami is saying that devotional service means it's favorable to Krishna. Right? That I can identify it as Krishna as the first step. Then the thing is make it favorable to Krishna. Right? Because otherwise, in the beginning, we're going to use this Brahman platform. We're going to be satisfied in that it's connected to Krishna. And we're going to keep doing the same thing what we were doing before, the same activity, the same understanding. Right? And we're happy that it's connected to Krishna. But with time, we'll start to notice that there's a difference between Krishna in this form and Krishna in his other forms. Right? Then the element comes up as then is mentioned here in Bhagavatam 6:19. This is the verse before where he's explaining about Lakshmi is in everything. My Lord, you are the master of energy, and therefore you are the supreme person. You are sacrifice, yajna, personified. Lakshmi, the embodiment of spiritual activities, is the original form of worship offered unto you, whereas you are the enjoyer of all sacrifices. So what we're seeing here is then, therefore, the relationship between Lakshmi and Narayan is service. Right? So you have an activity, which therefore in the spiritual terms is a sacrifice. But you have the activities that make the sacrifice work. Right? We're doing a fire yajna. It's a yajna. But just having said that, it doesn't happen. Just having all the ingredients for yajna, right? Because Krishna says, I am the ghee, I am the offering, I am the mantra, I'm the person offering it, I'm the person who's sponsoring it, I am the results. Right? So you're dealing all with nouns here. Right? So that is the support. That's the yajna. But then that yajna has to be performed. The performance of it, that's Lakshmi. Right? So the verb comes in, that's the active principle. That's the feminine principle. Right? I want to answer, but this thing is there's a certain flow here, and I'm afraid that I'm going to break it, and it's not going to be clear. So means it's not a problem to ask questions in the middle. It's just that the flow is too long and too thin. I'll lose it. So then that means now the next step is bringing it to that aspect of Paramatma. Right? Is that now the Lord sanctioning activities, right? And those activities therefore have a good and bad according to whether they're according to Shastra or not. Whether they're connected with uplifting activities or not. Does that make sense? Does that make sense here? In other words, you're dealing first with something that may not be what we'd call devotional service, like the example given of the wino on Second Avenue being recommended that you're so much into this wine, but actually you're dealing with Krishna. And so since everything we take has to be offered to Krishna, therefore that pure water that's in the wine, that you offer to Krishna. The rest of it is not very offerable. Right? And so the wino did that. I was told that in 2 weeks he was moved into the temple as a shaved up devotee. Like that. So the point is then therefore then the wine becomes Krishna. And the activity of drinking it becomes the element of Lakshmi. You understand? But it's not exact, it means that concept is devotional, but this particular activity is not. Right? You've reduced it down to the minimal that within that you're still seeing Krishna. The connection is there. So therefore, it's actually working. The person's purified. But if he says, this is natural, this is good, this is real, this is what everybody should do, that's nonsense. Because it's only working for his thing to the point it gets him purified. Then the next stage is, now the point is you ingest things. Now that process should actually now be connected more directly to Krishna as sacrifice, as something that's favorable to Krishna. The other one is how it's working. That's what's going on. Krishna's interacting with his energies, and the wino is drinking his wine. And that's for why he's called a wino. Right? So he's performing the activities that put him in his position, is his identity. Everything's complete. Right? If he's a wino, he's drinking orange juice, you might think something's wrong. Right? So, therefore, it's complete. But it's not favorable to Krishna. The process of drinking something is. Therefore, now he takes it to the next step. He's drinking things, but now it's prasad. Does that make sense? So you're taking this progress through. You can start wherever you are, and understanding this principle, it will move you forward. But when it moves you forward, then you have to take that move forward position. You can't say that, no, it's fine now because it's Krishna. No, but it has to become favorable to Krishna. That you identify it as Krishna, that's the first step. Now, having identified, then you do something for him. Right? I want to serve Krishna, so until I can tell it is Krishna, how I'm going to do something for it. Right? There's so many people there, and so I want to do something for Krishna. I have to identify first who's Krishna. Then I can do something. So the process of identification is important, but if you think, because I've identified, now I'm the great devotee, I'm situated properly. No, it doesn't work like that. That's the first step, which is important. Right? Just like to get to Raganuga, you have to go through Vaidhi. The form of it is the same. Just one is being, I'm getting used to the rules, and the other ones I've habituated, I'm comfortable with it. Now the spontaneity of my own affection for Krishna can be manifest through these external form that looks like Vaidhi. So it's the same thing. So I've identified there. Now I bring it to the point of yajna. Right? So, because Krishna is the enjoyer of that sacrifice, therefore, why not offer something to ingest that Krishna likes rather than something I like? Does that make sense? So we're going from something sinful to something that I like to something that Krishna likes. Right? I gave up the sinful now. I'm still eating. I'm still drinking. But now I cook what I like to eat. You know, some vegan, this, that, some other thing like that. So, but now at some point I get purified. Then I understand, well, what does Krishna like to eat? Right? Then you're dealing with what goes on in the spiritual world. Right? But the principle of connecting it to Krishna and doing it, that's the essential element of the spiritual world. That's why it works even for the wino. But that's not the position of the residents of Bhaja. Sitting around drinking your wine is not going to get you back to Godhead. It's a matter of it moves you forward on the path of liberation. That you've done it for Krishna, that's the only element that continues forward. The form of it, it's an inferior form. Right? Yeah, just like we'll say iron is a metal, gold's a metal. But iron's an inferior metal, gold's a superior metal. Right? So you have to make distinction. That's intelligence. If you can't make that distinction, then it's not intelligence. Right? Does that make sense? So that brings it forward to the point, then therefore it's offered to the Lord. And you're dealing some. Do we see this process here? Something like that? You added something? Let me get to you. On that, are we?
Pretty much answer your question.
Answer your question. Okay, and yourself?
Just Maharaj, in this, as you said, it's a process of transformation of energy and all that. Just to, if you could kindly elaborate on the process of Brahman being the composition of the living entities, actually. And then outside of Mahatattva, that's the glory and effulgence of the Lord, composed by living entities. In here, where, how we can focus on the understanding that the Lord is in Paramatma in every atom. And then when we talk about Paramatma, we had to be more narrowing down.
Okay, it's Brahman.
Two elements here.
Oh, but I mean, what's the position of Brahman?
No, yes, in one sense, because we also, as part of Brahman, we are observers.
Yes, yes.
But then there is the energy in the pillars and everything, which is not Brahman from the standpoint of view of the living entity.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be there above. That is, you
know. Oh, that's it. That's it. No, the thing is that Brahman is the, how you say, is the transcendental substance. Krishna is Brahman. So therefore, then everything, actually the expanse of Krishna is Brahman. But there's, but still within Brahman there are, how you say, qualities. Like that. Just like Krishna is Brahman, but we identify or work with, let's say, 64 qualities. He has unlimited, but 64 is enough for us to work with, you know, in our natural service and affection for him. So in the same way as then you have the internal potency Brahman, the Jiva's Brahman, external potency Brahman. So now it's just a matter of the Brahman is the natural state of existence. Now you're looking at the qualities of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Krishna's qualities are so wonderful that that effulgence of those qualities, that's the Brahma Jyoti that we would call, you know, the Brahma Jyoti. So this pervades everything. So Krishna's qualities pervades everything. So that's the underlying principle, is that when we're talking about the pillar, we're looking at the quality or the Brahman aspect of it. Because we're going from the mundane, this is a bunch of bricks and cement, to actually it's Krishna's potency of strength, of being able to hold something up. Right? And so then that then takes it from the mundane to the Brahman platform. It hasn't brought it to the platform of love of God. But the problem is our problem of getting in the way is not varieties of love of God. What's getting in the way, and it's not even liberations getting in our way. What's getting in our way is mundane desires, that we're actually seeing stuff as not Brahman. Right? We're not actually seeing it in connection to Krishna. So the best is seeing it in connection to Krishna from the Bhagavan platform. But that then goes, you know, we will many times take that as to be nice, but a little bit sentimental or a little theoretical. You know, the gopis see the tree, think of Krishna, embrace the tree, like that. So, but that might not work for us, because we're attracted by something in this world. So then you have to see is that actually what's attractive is Krishna's qualities in that effulgence as Brahman that pervades everything. So actually it's the quality of the pillar that makes it attractive. whatever it is, the strength, the aesthetics of it, you know, or some other aspect, you know, the rusticness of it, or whatever it is that is the quality, it's still Krishna's quality. And that's what's attracting us. So that's the basic. If from there it breaks it, fine. If it's still not, you're still attached to it and working with it, then you break it down more, is that it's actually Lakshmi. Because the pillar is there, so therefore that strength is manifest through these bricks. So the strength is Krishna, the bricks that do that service of manifesting that strength is Lakshmi. And so that pillar is Lakshmi and Narayan interacting with each other. We think it's my pillar, but it's actually Lakshmi and Narayan interacting with each other. But their interaction between them, that's their devotion. You know, my being able to observe it is being able to observe the Brahman platform. It doesn't necessarily mean it's devotion. It just means I'm able to see it, which is a very important progressive step. But the ability to then it's a matter of, okay, so if that's Lakshmi and Narayan, they're interacting, it's them, so this pillar should be engaged in Krishna's service. Right? If it's engageable. Right? So the pillar is. I've seen that in the wine, but technically the wine isn't something Krishna likes, so therefore it's not engageable. I've seen the Brahman element, I've by that broken my mundane attachment, brought things to the mode of goodness. Now I can see is that actually in the wine is the principle of, let's say, you know, if you're dealing with the thirst or taste, then I have other things to deal with, thirst or taste. And so I take it to something that's actually offerable. Right? Because otherwise how do you get rasa if there's not something offerable, something not, or how it's offered like that. If it's the other element is that it makes me forget the mundane, then I absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. That makes me forget the mundane. Or it makes me happy or relaxed. It gives me, you know, I'm comfortable with myself. So by identifying a servant of Krishna, then I'm able to get that. So in other words, whatever is the element of the wine that is important, that is broken down, and whatever it is, taken and brought into its state that can be offered to Krishna. Because it's the potency, it's not the wine. It's the potency in there that does that. So I find that potency on a offerable platform. Does that make sense? So that's what Shastra is defining for us.
So is it good to be taken then from that platform, which may start to scratch, let's say, Paramatma realization, we can practice actually personalism in when I see not only the energy of the Lord in the form of the Lakshmi, but also in the heart of the living entities.
Yes, yes, yeah. Because everybody's connected to Krishna, so technically the karmis are devotees that don't know it, and they're still doing the same things that a living entity naturally does. Look for relationships, the element of sacrifice, the element of determination and goals and values and having ideals. They all have that. That's the nature of the living entity. But just they don't see that they don't see it directly in connection with Krishna, and they don't even see that what they are dealing with is still in connection with Krishna in a inferior form. So therefore they're called karmis or materialists. But the soul itself is the same soul that is in it with us or in the devotees. That's the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is the only one soul. It means quality. That all the souls have the same spiritual quality. Mode of passion is, here's a Christian soul, here's a Jewish soul, here's a Muslim soul. Right? In fact, there's only 600,000 Jewish souls. If there's more Jews than that, those have been divided up amongst more. Like that. That's their idea. That's like real mode of passion. They even give you a number how many there are. Right? You know, so it's like, so that's mode of passion. Mode of ignorance is you think the body is the soul. Like that. So then that becomes a difficulty. Okay, no, we'll have to end here. So we'll how you say? If you can remember your questions, then tomorrow we can start with them. Okay? Okay? Like that, because it was just there was this whole complete thing to get across it, because it was done in parts and it wasn't seen as a complete package, so there was some doubts about it, so we tried to clear that. So tomorrow we'll go into detail of this, and then any questions. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
yeah.
Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
Some are.
Okay, I brought it. Yeah.
Thank you.